Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Tzadi Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Beis. As you can see, we are in the middle of a series of cases that we've highlighted with a bow tie shape, and you can refer to the end of our previous shiur where we explained the general sugya structure. We continue with cases. Omar Romi Bar Chamo, Ruvain Shemochar Sode L'Shimon Bachrayas. Ruvain sold a piece of land to Shimon with a guarantee. The guarantee, meaning that if the land is taken away from Shimon by some creditors, so Ruvain will compensate him. Now, Shimon did not pay for the land immediately. Rather, V'zokaf Olov B'milveh. This expression means that there was a debt created by this sale. In other words, Shimon owes the purchase price to Reuven. Umeis Reuven. Reuven dies. V'yosa bal, and we should point out, with Reuven dies, but he leaves heirs. Technically speaking, the purchaser, Shimon, owes the purchase price, he owes that money to Reuven's heirs. The also bal choiv de Reuven, the kotorif lo mishimon. A person to whom Reuven owed money, the bal choiv, a creditor of Reuven, came and took the field, attempted to take the field from Shimon. In other words, Shimon bought a field upon which the Baal Chov had a lien. Shimon, though, was very interested in keeping the field for himself. So, upaise bezuze. He literally appeased, he paid off the Baal Chov with cash. In other words, the cash that was, earmarked or set aside to pay for the field, cash that Shimon intended to pay the heirs of Reuven. Instead of that, he took the cash and paid off the Baal Chov of Reuven. Dina hu, the Amri le b'nei Reuven, the heirs of Reuven can tell Shimon, they can tell him a thing or two. Basically, the heirs of Reuven are interested in getting that purchase price, in getting the payment that Shimon owed their father. Now, Shimon, you can imagine, has all kinds of seeming counterclaims. What do you mean? You know, I paid off your father's creditor. But that is not going to satisfy the B'nai Reuven, as they explain. Anan, we, mitatuli shovak avun gaboch. That purchase price that you used to pay off the Baal Chov, that was cash. Cash is in the realm of portables. That cash that was destined to come to us as payment for the field was not really available to our father's creditor. That cash wasn't something that the creditor could have placed a claim on. You voluntarily gave it to him. That's your problem, so to speak. And furthermore, because of you might claim that you have a claim against us because you bought the field with Achrayas, you bought it with a guarantee. Sorry, we don't have any land with which to compensate you for the loss of the land, or the potential loss of the land, and the guarantee with which you had bought it. So you have no claim against us. Just to go over the 2 points. The money that you used to pay off the Baal Chov, that's of no interest to us. The Baal Chov had no claim on the cash. And if you think you're going to lay a claim against us, forget about it. We don't have any land to pay off your claim. But you still owe us the purchase price. Omar Rova, I pikeach idoch. If Shimon is wise, magvi lehu nihalayu ara, Shimon will, of course, yield to their claim that he still owes them money. So what will Shimon do? He'll pay off the Yorshim, the heirs of Reuven, the debt by giving them a piece of land equivalent to the debt that he has. The Hodah Govi Lo Minayu, and after Shimon pays off his debt to the heirs of Reuven, he'll then come and recollect the land from them. And that's the sharpness that Rava is intimating when he says if Shimon is on the ball. And how does that operate? What does that mean? He pays them off for the debt that he owed to their father, then reclaims the land. D'yom Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar Ravua, Yesoimim Shegovu Karka B'choymas Aviyem. Orphans or heirs that collect land because of a debt that was owed to their father. Baal Chov Choyzer V'gova Oiso Mehen. Baal Chov, in this case, is a reference to Shimon. Shimon had a debt to collect from Reuven because of the guarantee that he had purchased the land with. So, as Rava says, if Shimon is smart, based on Rav Nachman's halacha, the Yesoimim, these orphans collected the land from Shimon because of the debt that Shimon owed to their father. But any creditor that had debts to collect from their father can collect that very land that the Yesoimim had collected because of the debt that was owed to their father. A new case. Omar Rabo, Reuven Shemochar Kol Sodoisiv L'Shimon. Reuven sold all of his property to Shimon. V'chozar Shimon U'mochar Soda Achas L'Levi. And then Shimon sold one parcel of land to Levi. Now this Reuven, he was a man that had borrowed money sometime in the past. As an example, he had incurred a debt. Debts, as I'm sure you know by now, are collected from people's land in the event that they don't have cash to pay them off. And not only that, there's a lien on his land. So Shimon basically bought all the properties of Reuven, realizing that Reuven, he may have had earlier debts. Those debts can be seized from the land that Shimon bought. Additionally, Shimon sold one parcel of land to Levi. The also Baal Chov de Reuven, the creditor to whom Reuven had owed money, arrived on the scene. Rotzah mizeh goyve, rotzah mizeh goyve. Here we have to play along with the Gemara, because this situation is going to develop line by line as we can proceed in the Gemara. So it's in our best interest to simply translate and increase information as we go along. So at this point, the Gemara is saying that the Baal Chov of Reuven has his choice of collecting either from Shimon or from Levi. If we look in Rashi, Rashi will tell you that he already gives you the explanation as the Gemara itself unfolds. So maybe it's best for us to just play along in the meantime with the Gemara. The Gemara qualifies this. What does that mean that the Baal Chov can go to either Shimon or Levi? V'lo amoron elo dezovna beinonis. This idea of the Baal Chov of Reuven going even to Levi is if Levi bought middle quality land. In halacha, we generally speak about three qualities of land: edus, top quality; Beinonis, middle quality, Ziburis, poorest quality. In Halacha, a creditor has a right to seize middle quality land. It's the middle quality land that is bound to pay off debts, standard debts. So if Levi bought Beinonis quality land, middle quality land, that happens to be the kind of land that a Baal Chov is entitled to collect, that a Baal Chov has a lien upon. Avol, Zovna Idis Viziburis, if Levi purchased from Shimon top and cheapest or lowest quality land, Levi did not buy the Beinonis from Shimon. Motzi Omar Lei, then Levi can tell the Baal Chov, what are you coming to me for? Lahachi Tarchi Uzavini Aro Delo Chazioloch. Don't you notice that I deliberately bought Edis and Ziburis? Lochi Tarchi means, and it's for this reason that I troubled myself, Uzvini Aaron bought land, the Lochazilch, it's not fit for you. You don't have a lien on Edis and Ziburis. Ubeinunis Nami Lo Amoron, and the idea that the Baal Chov of Reuven can go to Levi in the case of Beinonis, of a Beinonis purchase, that is true only Ella Delo Shovak Beinonis de Kavosa. It's only if Levi had bought all of the Beinonis from Shimon. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Avol Shovak Beinonis de Kavosa, if Levi left by Shimon some Beinonis, some Beinonis enough to cover the debt, Motzi Omarle, Levi can tell the Baal Chov, Hinachti l'chomokom ligvos heimenu, I left by Shimon a source of collection for you. After all, Shimon is the one that bought all of Reuven's properties. In other words, Shimon, will say, assumed the burden of paying off Reuven's debts. And Levi is a latecomer. Levi is saying, I didn't buy all of the Beinonis from Shimon, leaving Shimon with his original obligation to pay off, through the land, the debts of Reuven. So we go back now, and you know, you can appreciate why we didn't want to get into the details initially when the Gemara said that the Baal Chov of Reuven goes to these purchasers, and the Gemara said, "Rotsa mizeh goyve, rotsa mizeh goyve," that Shimon, that the Baal Chov can choose to collect either from Shimon or Levi. The idea of going to Levi is under very, very restricted circumstances, and that is only if Levi had bought all of the Beinonis property from Shimon, leaving no Beinonis in Shimon's Rishus. What is interesting to note, and this you can look into Rashi for further explanation, why is it that if Levi bought all of the Beinonis, why then does the Baal Chov of Reuven have any dealings with Shimon whatsoever? So that point is discussed in Rashi. We'll leave that for each one of you to look into if you should so desire. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Abaye, a new case. Reuven Shemochar Soda L'Shimoin Ba'achrayas. So Reuven sold a parcel of land to Shimon with a guarantee. V'yosa Ba'achov de Reuven. V'kotorif Lomine. And a creditor of Reuven came and took the land from Shimon based on the idea that we've seen already extensively, that the Baal Chov, the creditor, had a debt, an outstanding debt to collect from Reuven before Reuven sold any of these properties. So that creditor has a lien on Reuven's properties. Now that Reuven sold the field to Shimon, the creditor seizes upon Shimon. Dinahu de Ozil Reuven umachzi lei. Reuven has a legal right by letter of the law. Reuven can intervene on behalf of Shimon. Rashi explains that Reuven can argue, can offer arguments to fend off the Baal Chov from collecting from Shimon. He might have other claims against that Baal Chov. For example, you have a debt to collect from me, but you also owe me money for something else. And that would, you know, one debt would cancel the other, and then the Baal Chov would not be able to collect from Shimon. Or Reuven can say, I want you to swear that I didn't pay you, and that's why you're going to Shimon. So Reuven can get involved. The lo motzi amale, and that Baal Chov cannot tell Reuven, lav baal dvorim didiat. Yeah, you can take a walk. I have nothing to do with you. In other words, you don't have any means of paying me. It's that field that is my source of payment. Therefore, and that field is now in the reshus of, is in the possession of Shimon. So what are you doing here, intervening, making claims against me? Anyway, the Baal Chov cannot say that. He can't fend off Reuven. Mishum de Omar Lei, Reuven can tell that Baal Chov, the mafkis mine, that which you take from Shimon, all lie, hodar. He's going to then come seize upon me. So I'm very involved. And now, why is that? This, at this point in the Gemara, is because the sale that Reuven made to Shimon was a sale with a guarantee in it. So that Shimon inevitably is going to come, if Shimon loses out, he's going to come claiming for me. So I'm very much involved here. The Ika, the Amri. Now a second version. Afilu Shaloba Achrayas Nami. Even if the sale of Reuven to Shimon, of that field, was without a guarantee. Which means that if Shimon loses the field, he's not going to have any financial claims against Reuven. Shimon bought it knowing that he has no guarantee. Nevertheless, even in that case, Reuven can get involved for the benefit of Shimon against the Baal Chov, and that Baal Chov cannot tell Reuven, hey, you take a walk, you're lav baal dvorim didiat, I have no dealings with you. Why? Why is it that Reuven can stay involved here and argue on behalf of Shimon? The Omar Lei, Reuven can tell his creditor, Lo nicholi the teve le l'Shimon tarumes olai. In the event that Shimon would lose the field to the Baal Chov, what's going to be? It's true that Shimon has no financial recourse against Reuven. He bought it without a guarantee, but there still will be tarumas, ill feelings Shimon will have toward me, toward Reuven. And because Reuven is interested in avoiding those ill feelings, Reuven has a right to get involved on behalf of Shimon so as to spare himself of any ill feelings that Shimon would have towards him. Omar Abaye. Now we have another case, and we should note on the side we have a Nosei Mivne heading. We feature an Aleph and Beis. You see an Aleph here, and on Tzadi Gimel and Aleph, a Beis will appear. Shnei L'shoinois Binyan Chazora Mimechira Sode Machmas Oren. We'll see two versions concerning deals, sales of land where the purchaser backs out or wants to back out because of Urin. Urin are murmurings that challenge the efficacy of the sale. Murmurings that challenge the ownership of the land on the part of the seller to begin with. So the Gemara. Omar Abai, Reuven Shemochar Sode L'Shimon. Shelo Bachrayas. Reuven sold a piece of land to Shimon without a guarantee. V'yotsu Olov Asikin. We're at the top of Tzadi Gimel Men Aleph. And Asikin are Urin, complainers, challengers, disputations concerning Reuven's ownership of land started to be heard. And now Shimon had agreed to buy land from Reuven, and now there's these complainers. I want to point out before we go on in the Gemara that The pshat that we're going to use in the Gemara is based on Rashi. There are quite a few Rishonim that have a different approach to this Gemara, but we're going to be translating the word hichzik as kinyan, as the sale clincher. There are other approaches. I'm saying that ahead of time emphatically. If you look in the, you see even the Tosfos Reed, you can see in the Meforshim on the Rif on Ksubis, you see that's the Ran there, and certainly the Rambam. All of these Rishonim have a different approach than that which we're going to be saying now. But based on Rashi, we're continuing in the Gemara. So we have a deal concerning the sale of land, and now murmurings challenging the ability of the sale to take place to begin with. So ad shelo hichzik bo. If the murmurings were heard before Shimon clinched the deal, yochol lachzer bo, he can back out. If, however, he had made a kinyan on the field, and then these murmurings were heard, he can't back out, it's too late. Mishum Dior Marley, the mocher can say, Chaisa de Kitri Savris Vikabilis. Literally translated as you bought a small sack full of knots. It's an expression meaning like tough luck. You made a deal, and you made a kinyan on it. Deal, that's a deal clincher. And so what? They're murmurings here. Let us also emphasize that this was a sale without any guarantee. So what claim can Shimon have against Reuven anyway? From what point is Chazoka accomplished? From the point that the purchaser walks around the borders of the field. Again, I know we sometimes sound repetitious, but it's important just for the sake of accuracy to point out that there are other Meforshim on how to learn this Gemara. So now, we said here that the inability to back out is associated with the fact that the deal was made without a guarantee, leaving room to think that if the deal was made with a guarantee, and then you hear you're a purchaser and you hear the field's ownership being challenged, you can say, oh, I want to back out even after the kinyan. Iko di Amri, another version, Afilu Bachrayas Nami, even if Shimon bought the field with a guarantee, he cannot back out upon hearing the Asikin, the Orurin. The Omarle, the seller, Reuven, can say, you have what? You have a claim against me? Achvi Tirpoch Fi Ashalem Loch. You show me the court document entitling you to collect from me compensation because those Orin actually had collected the field from you. In other words, we've spoken about complainers and challengers, but who says there's any veracity to their claims? It could be it's a bunch of hot air. So Reuven tells Shimon, I can appreciate that you feel uncomfortable because of the murmurings, but legally nothing has happened. As far as any claims you might have against me, only if the court enabled those protesters to take possession of the land from you, then show me that court document entitling you to compensation from me, and I will pay you. But up to that point, even though you bought with a guarantee, there's no backing out, and you will have to pay me for that land. Before we conclude, Let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.